I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Remember me? I'm the one who had your baby's eyes, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool are through and Manchester City are back on the horse. It's Thursday, 11th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Vidushin the Hunter Raja.
Join in. Ging. All right.
Do we have to?
Well, it's optional.
If you buy me a £4 bottle of Mets from the bar, then I'm in.
Ah, now you're talking. I can't wait for that bar to reopen, Andy. My goodness.
Is there a bar here?
Oh, don't you know? Why do you look like as if you've been sort of missing out, as if you've not been complete with alcohol before doing the show?
I mean, I have. I mean, I'm fine now. Yeah. It's just when I need to top up.
You normally turn up a bit pissed.
11 a.m. just makes the commute a bit easier.
I find a large one makes the show go that bit quicker. Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Andy, you're looking radiant, cousin.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. You guys too?
Yes,
you.
You're patronising sod. Andy, what about the action at the Puskás Arena in Budapest last night between Liverpool and Leipzig? It was 2-0. To Liverpool. It was end-to-end at times, but Liverpool, they were good for their win. They missed a few chances, did they not, Mr. Brassel?
A few?
Yeah.
How many chances did they miss over those two legs? A lot. And someone like me watches Leipzig on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and knows they're a really good side, but has doubts over whether they can properly compose themselves in a Champions League setting. Mm-hmm. It's as if they were going overboard to confirm all my suspicions.
Yes. Fish, you were quite put out by Nagelsmann's lack of, what would you say, sort of flair in his outfit.
I mean, put out in a sense that...
Gutted, maybe.
Yeah, I mean...
Upset?
No, because...
Distraught?
Because I was part of the mob that ridiculed him. Mm-hmm. You know, when he rocked up in the latter stages of the Champions League, mm-hmm. you know, with a different scale of get-up each time, I thought, okay, this is a man who's... He's dressing for the job he wants, not for the job he has. And I've never been of that mind. I know it's something you say to people, but I don't agree with that.
What
I think
job are you after today?
I think
today?
You dress down.
Yeah. When you say dressing for the job you want, there was this amazing bit earlier in his career before Leipzig where he was being linked with the Bayern post and he kept nuts came to this red puffer jacket.
Yes.
Bayern stash.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I am currently building a house in Bavaria.
Oh,
that is excellent. Did he have like the sponsor on the front? I just all the mission was the badge.
Yeah. Oh. I think it had like sort of a T-Mobile on the back where normally you would have Castrol GTX.
That's superb.
So the reason I was upset was because I thought that maybe he was dressing down because people had made such a big deal out of it. And to be fair, it's been brought up to him a few times in interviews and he's been pissed off because it's like, it's not really the point, is it? Let me wear what I want to wear.
You feel responsible, don't you?
Well, I don't know, a little bit, yeah. I felt like, you know, Twitter, we're all school bullies on that damn hell site. So I thought we're responsible, but...
Yeah, and I think we're in a different age of sort of coaches' sartorial get-ups now. Whereas I think if you go back like 5 or 6 years, you're starting to say, wow, there are like, you know, managers with like modern tattoos. You know, black and greys rather than smudged old sailor stuff if they're of a certain age.
I was about to ask you what's an old-fashioned tattoo, but you're right.
But now, now we've moved into the age of the sockless manager.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
And Nagelsmann is very much at the forefront of that.
Do you think maybe... I tell you who like to go out on nights out without socks on, Essex boys, I've noticed. It's quite an Essex boy thing.
Yeah, well, the key thing is that you got the trouser length and the ankle that you need to work out.
Yeah, do you know what? Actually, I don't. I think if you can pull that look off, I think you'd be okay. I think Scott Parker could do it.
Yeah, he
I think
can.
Scott Parker could do it. It's a look
only with moccasins, not with trainers.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No,
because he's of a certain age.
No, I'm talking about on a night out. I'm not. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought, you know, RB Leipzig weren't very good yesterday. but
the missed chances, they were dressed inappropriately.
Yeah. Well, kind of like riffing off of Andy's point, it did really feel like they were trying to force it. Like, Makelele on the left, like, they seemed to be really... I can't remember who the commentator was, but he seemed to be really annoyed that he was cutting in.
Was it what, Fletcher and Macca?
I think, yeah, it was Stephen Manaman, yeah. He was just like, well... There he is cutting again. And I was like, well, he's doing quite well.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of making them, you know, making Liverpool shift a bit. But yeah,
he doesn't have Roberto Carlos behind him like you used to, Steve.
But I did get the impression that they were just so much more. I mean, I watched them against Spurs on both legs last year. And they, obviously because they've lost a few players, but that kind of confidence was severely lacking. And it didn't look like Liverpool feared that they'd be. Even if Leipzig had scored, Liverpool would have thought, well, I think we'll probably still be all right.
They did look pretty good. I mean, and of course, this is Liverpool, still fairly makeshift, knowing what they have and all the injuries and whatnot, Andy. But, okay, they missed a lot of chances. But ultimately, to sort of spin that around, they created a lot of chances. They've gone through, was it 4-0 on aggregate?
Yes.
Fairly comfortable in the end of a Champions League knockout.
I agree, Marcus. It's actually more comfortable than the scoreline looks as well.
And therefore quite impressive. Because you know on another day they'll put some of those away.
And I think this is huge for Liverpool in their season because it's the only bit of it left, really. Mm. But I didn't feel that they ever felt that they had that in their minds. You know, they played the game rather than the occasion, which I think was really important. Maybe that was easy to do. It's interesting because you don't think of like RB Leipzig as the most atmospheric place in the world, do you? But Nagelsmann actually said afterwards, I felt there wasn't enough emotion from the players.
It was at the Puskás Arena.
Yeah, that's right. He said he felt that kind of played against them. He felt almost that Anfield would have lifted them a little bit, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that Liverpool was so cool, so collected, was really, really super impressive. I think they needed this game, they needed this performance, and they needed Fabinho back in midfield.
Yeah, well, Fabinho back in midfield made a huge difference.
It did.
Having a bit of thrust in there, Andy, and you're a big fan of thrust.
I am. I'm a big fan of Fabinho as well. Mm-hmm. I remember interviewing him for telly once when he was at Monaco, and that bit where you're waiting for the camera people to like set up the lights and all that sort of stuff. It takes more time than you would expect. And
that's through your demands, you know. The
my particular demands.
Yeah. Makeup ladies, you know, they just breathe a sigh of relief when you leave the door at the end of the day.
That's pretty much it. But normally the player will sit there looking a bit bored and flicking through their phone. But we actually had a little bit of a conversation. I regaled him with the fact that there was a previous Brazilian footballer in France who played for Toulouse called Fabinho.
Oh, yeah.
And he had six toes on each feet, on each foot.
That's cheating.
And
and six toes?
Yeah. And he's like, really? Is that the case? And he had a little shiver.
Yeah, well, you would, wouldn't you?
Why are you spooking a man before you interview him?
I like to put my interviewees at ease.
Do you want to see something funny?
Yeah. I think we need to. Did you then ask to see how many toes?
It's quite accusatory, that, isn't it? Well, there's someone else by your name. Yeah.
And he had six toes.
Yeah.
What have you got?
Well, eight on each foot, given that performance last night,
you
perhaps.
Would say so. And Nat Phillips was immense, wasn't he? Had a very, very good game. He got a big old bear hug from Jurgen Klopp. I think you have to do something quite bad to not get a bear hug from you.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, like, Phillips is someone who's struggled a bit since he's come in, and understandably so, because he's been promoted a bit too early. I thought that was, he played well yesterday. I think, he's not someone who's going to make it. Although at the same time, given what we saw of Fabinho yesterday and what we started to see of Henderson when he was playing back in midfield before he got injured, again, this is massively with the benefit of hindsight, but I do wonder if Klopp should have taken that plunge a bit earlier, put more inexperience at the back, knowing that he would have his first choice midfield two in front of them, because it hampered them so much going forward as well. And that void in the middle is the reason I believe that they're in the position they're in. I don't think it's so much to do with being too leaky at the back or, not being as ruthless up top. I just think they just lost their core through no real fault of their own, but I wondered if he's looking at it now thinking, I'm not doing that again.
100%, I agree with that. I mean, I feel like I use this example a little bit too often, but in 2006-2007, when Michael Essien ended up playing probably half of that season for Chelsea at centre-back, them missing in midfield was the difference between them winning the Premier League and not.
Mm-hmm. No, I know what you mean. I think a much more successful one would be, Mascherano going back into defence for Barcelona.
Mm.
But they had plenty to cover in that area. Do you see what I mean? And so when you miss out on that midfield, the thing is, though, Viz, sometimes you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You know, with what Klopp is trying to use, it's very tempting. You know, we've seen him use Henderson back there, but Luke made the point, you lose a lot in midfield when you don't have Henderson.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that Liverpool, again, their Champions League form is obviously a little bit different to their league form. And I think, when people talk about Liverpool, it was a while ago in the season that Klopp said, if we can finish top four this season, it'll be, that'll be an achievement kind of thing. And he said that well before they started losing games. So I think he was almost aware through the injuries and whatnot how difficult this season would be. But Andy, would you say that they are now targeting the Champions League in the same way that, I don't know, we've seen great AC Milan sides do, under, say, Ancelotti or something like that over the years. You know, we've seen this approach. But at the same time, they to finish sort of even like seventh or eighth in the league, you can't be doing that. So you've got to get the balance right.
Yeah, but I think there's an understanding amongst all coaches that you can't just toss off all other competitions to chase one, because the fact is, if their form is poor in the Premier League, that will actually prejudice their chances of doing well in the Champions League, because you can't just pick it up cold. And I think the Champions League regenerating their Premier League season will be a big thing.
Yeah, but in general, no tossing off. I think we can agree. Klopp did say, I did quite like this quote about Nat Phillips, what a boy he is, what a player he is, he's an aerial monster, and on the floor, not bad.
Damn with fate, right? It was not bad on the floor. That's all Phillips is going to hear.
Yeah, indeed. Well, of course, PSG, they advance as well into the next round. And I mean, it's quite extraordinary when the game finishes 1-1 and it's finished, 5-2 on aggregate in the end. And you think to yourself, that was a missed opportunity from Barcelona. I mean, to be beaten 5-2 in aggregate, you think to yourself, well, that would be, if you didn't watch the game, you'd think that's fairly comprehensive. It was a huge task. They went 1-0 down. But Andy, Barcelona, they should have got at least 2-1 in at the halftime. You know, Messi misses the penalty. And I remember watching that thinking, oh, it's such a shame that he missed that, because PSG, they'd have been jobbing themselves at halftime.
Is that an expression? Is that really an expression?
North of the border it is.
Yeah, well, you know what? Keylor Navas got 9 out of 10 in L'Equipe this morning. Yeah. Now, to put into perspective, to get 9 out of 10 in L'Equipe, you normally have to be man of the match and serve everyone the sort of meal that would... Mm-hmm. win MasterChef Australia at the same time.
And
as
to get
well.
10 out of 10, you need to pledge your allegiance to the French Republic.
Well, I think there are something like 7 players in the history.
Yeah. Dusan Tadic being one of them for that performance for Ajax. Yeah. But you're right. They are very, very stingy with their rating. So to get 9 out of 10 is quite something.
Yeah. I mean, there was a degree of denial in the French newspapers because they were like, oh, it's great to show, Paris Saint-Germain use these battling, fighting qualities. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the goalkeeper was man of the match by an absolute mile.
But it was a shame, though, because that could have really been quite interesting going into the second half if they were a goal or maybe two up. And they should have been. They had chance after chance and opportunity and, of course, the penalty.
Would have put a bit more coal in your Ronald Koeman hype train for the first time in months.
Now you're talking to coal. What about when Messi scored that absolute screamer? Joe Cole said, oh, he's put absolute violence into that. Fish, when was the last time you put violence into something?
I made a pie at Christmas, uh-huh. and the amount of the different kinds of fat I put into it, yeah. I think you could attribute that to violence. Violence upon my own arteries.
A bit of goose fat in there. A
lot of goose fat. There was just all kinds of fat. Any kind of fat that would be bad for you, I was putting in that and then putting it in this.
Damn right you were. Did you call it the fat pie, but like a PHAT pie?
No, I could do. Yeah.
Just some good branding ideas there.
Yeah,
you want to get Marcus on board.
You seem very proud of this. I didn't see it on your Insta stories.
Well, you would have done, actually.
Would
have done if you hadn't been paid. If you had better things to do at Christmas, Marcus.
Priorities need to be redrawn, in my mind.
But that was that goal. So our friends at Stadio talk about this thing they call the angry goal, and that was. I think that was a step up from an angry goal. That was a bit like, I'm tired of this shit.
Yes.
Goal. That was a kind of, I can't believe these mugs are dragging me down goal.
Yeah.
That's like a brassle in this room with both of us kind of goal.
Speak for yourself. No, you're right. Yeah, I know what you mean. It was like, I'm the daddy.
Has he scored a goal like that before? Because I think it might have been Joe Cole yesterday said that it was reminiscent of a goal that Cristiano Ronaldo would score.
Mm. Like Ronaldo's one against Porto, for example, for Manchester United.
Oh, that was a blitzer,
Because it was so far out.
Yeah, it just kept going.
Because you sort of think to yourself, should the goalkeeper save that? Because he's had about 5 seconds to... But of course, the pace and and all the rest of it takes it in.
It's 5 seconds of distance done in 2 seconds. Though,
yeah, of course, of course. Yeah. But I think the velocity of it, when you see Messi, there's not an awful lot of swing back in his leg. Because when he hits it, you sort of think, he's hit that. But as it flies past the goalkeeper, that's when you see the power, I think. And the goalkeeper sort of dives and is in a bit of a... You know, the goalkeeper looks like he's a bit discombobulated.
Yeah, he ragdolls a bit, doesn't he?
He does.
And that's like, you know, that's the goalkeeper who gets 9 out of 10 in L'Equipe.
Well, he took that to beat him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. You know, that's
maybe if he'd have like,
if he'd have palmed that away, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, if he'd have offered forth his wok to deflect it.
Oh, dear. Apparently, old Pochettino's halftime team talk was rather spicy. According to Marquinhos, he said it was hot. He asked for more engagement with little videos. This is what made the difference. It was hot with little videos.
Is this like the little videos you show us before the start of the show?
Must be. That's why. That's
how good was Marquinhos, by the way.
Oh, he was. But that's why he's got the nickname Poch Spice. I think. Let's try and push that, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of hot and little videos, Ronald Koeman said, "We are out, but we leave with good sensations." Maybe he got his hands on those little videos, Andy.
Possibly.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting there?
I'm saying that a PSG fan rented a hotel room where the Barca squad was staying and fireworks were set off at 4 a.m.
In the hotel room?
Can I just say, this is such a Parisian way of disrupting the opposition. like normal fans, just go outside the hotel and let off the fucking fireworks.
Fire up
but,
the trumpet.
But no, I'll tell you what. I've got some disruption planned. Can I have your penthouse suite with bowling alley and free bar?
You set off the hotel alarm at 5 a.m., which is very, very irresponsible. He was taken to a local police station, though, and goodness knows what happened there. But my sort of, if I was to disrupt a team, it would be fire up a mariachi band outside the hotel.
Yeah, nice,
that,
nice.
I think that would be going on sort of, you know, Mexico 86 sort of vibes, that kind of thing.
I've been watching quite a lot of X-Men recently. I don't know why. So I might go like all mystique and like maybe dress as a... like...
You'd shoot lasers at them.
No. But like dress as a beautiful woman and like try and seduce one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what I'd do when the jig was up.
Fair, I'm going to indulge you. How successful do you think you'd be with that?
I reckon I'd get far enough.
Would you shave your sort of stubbly beard off?
No, I wouldn't shave the beard because it's quite an effort to grow it back. I'm not mad now. I've got my own life to lead.
So you're not going full in on this?
Well, I'm going quite the way in on it.
I reckon suppose face mask.
I'd wear a face mask. COVID, remember? I reckon I'd get far enough to have an influence on something.
Don't suggest this is responsible for COVID.
But I reckon I'd get far enough to maybe, I don't know, like, you know, slash a few of the boots. If I'll get into the team room, I think, and I can work my wares from there, yeah.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. The boot slasher, or otherwise known as Vish. Well, so PSG, they don't say they march on, but they walk on into the next round. And a shame, because it could have been a bit more of a spectacle, but there we are. Back in the good old Premier League, there was a 7-goal thriller. They ended 5-2 to Manchester City. Ralph Hasenhüttl said, "I think we played quite well, even though we conceded 5 goals. He also said, "In the end, it's not so interesting if you lose 1-0 or 5-2. This is a game I enjoy more than sitting back for 90 minutes and parking the bus." I sort of get what he means, but is he not playing into Pep's hands there, Andy?
Maybe, but are you going to keep out Manchester City by defending the whole game?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at where Southampton are most comfortable. I think this is all a lot easier to say, having won the game at Sheffield United at the weekend.
Oh, yes.
There's a massive difference.
Well, you're not expected to go and win at Manchester City. And I suppose that if you get a couple of goals and you make it easy, and Pep Guardiola says in the post-match, you know, they made us suffer, then maybe that's all you can hope for at the moment, unless you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a new change of tact from Hasenhüttl. If you make it out that it was your intention all along to concede a lot of goals.
Yeah, didn't lose 9-0, did we?
Yeah, well then, yeah, maybe you can go with that. Do you think Hasenhüttl's... I mean, I don't necessarily mind this so much, but I can see why if you're a Southampton fan, you might be a little bit worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a lot of respect for, you know, Klopp, Guardiola, the kind of high-end managers. Do you think that is admiration through wanting to emulate them, or do you think there's an element of being a little bit starstruck by them?
Yeah, I think that's it's a good question. I don't think that's something we've massively seen in his career before. But, you know, having said that, I agree with Marcus that there is a sensation of free hit when you're playing with Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have gone and got results against good teams before. I mean, when they beat Liverpool was still difficult to beat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he has done it before. But I do wonder if it's almost the pudding after that Sheffield United game. Because going back to that, if they'd have lost that, they'd have been really worried, I think. And because Southampton won that, we can say, oh, well, they're never really in relegation trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But they might have been had they got that. So I do wonder if there's just a bit of decontraction that is quite difficult for the coach to actually control there.
Yeah, because they've got Brighton next, haven't they?
Mm.
So it could have been a pretty horrendous you know, situation they find themselves in.
Yeah, we know Manchester City have got Fulham next, because that's all Pep's kept saying in the post-match interview.
He's scared, isn't he?
Yeah, he was like, Fulham, we've got Fulham next. Fulham. What's that coming over the hill? Is it Scott Parker? It is. He was furious that Phil Foden didn't get a penalty when McCarthy looked to have fouled him.
Looked to have. I mean, he fouled him.
Yeah. Well, allegedly. Innocent until proven guilty.
I mean, guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Innocent until both legs are removed.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He said for a long time, maybe 4 or 5 years, never complain about the referees. You do. But this action is incredible. Incredible.
It's a slight change from his normal "I'm so happy."
It is,
isn't it?
He's right, though. How was that not given? That was more obvious than the Areola one.
Because people are like, oh, you know, if Foden stayed on his feet, if Foden hadn't stayed on his feet, then it would have been given. But he did fall over. He just got up.
I mean, that's the thing. When
it stopped him from putting it in the back of the
Yes,
net.
Exactly. What more do they want?
He said, oh, he stayed on his feet. You're right. He didn't stay on his feet. He just because he didn't do a...
Well, he's still got one of his ankles. He can hop, couldn't he?
It's like Warnock, that.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't break his leg or, you know, kill him or anything. All right, okay. Was that that's the bar, isn't it? Graeme Souness, he was angry, continued his war against referees by claiming VAR must have been getting a coffee when Phil Foden was brought down. I mean...
Well, actually, it's
I bet he hates coffees, doesn't he? I bet he hates flat whites. I bet he hates the little ones Mocha. In between sizes. The
Americano. Yeah.
Actually, it's impossible to get a coffee at Stockley Park at the moment unless you take your own. So the joke's on you, Graham.
Also, it probably takes about 15 minutes. I remember the last time I was.
Say that to his face, Andy. Socially distanced.
I think we both know that's not going to happen, even socially distanced.
Because you're on different television networks.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only reason. That's the only reason.
Yeah, Suey's got away with that, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Redknapp only had the bottle against Roy Keane when he was pitch side.
Yeah, that's
Souness
right.
Knows that, well, Brassel's at BT, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like WCW versus WWF back
yeah,
in the day.
Who's going to become, is he going to become Hollywood Andy Brassel? Crossover. That's what I want to know, ladies and gentlemen.
I reckon you could take him, Brass.
I reckon he could. Andy, enough of this nonsense. What you've been talking about on the continent, presumably you'll do a deeper dive into Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be lots of Champions League fun on today with me, Dotton, and Nicky Bandini this week. So we'll be going deep into Juventus and what happened there, why they fell out against Porto, and what next for Ronaldo and Pirlo.
Mugs, absolute mugs. Well, head over to, not you as in Juventus and co, head over to the Football Ramble, head over to Football Ramble Presents, ladies and gentlemen. You'll have a lovely time over there. Right, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Years never complain about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible. Incredible.
Incredible.
Bit back. General Levy.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to hear.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
Sorry.
All right. Can I do my little... welcome back to the Football Ramble. Yes, Fish, you were saying.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I can't do it again. I got too scared.
All right, then. It's time for emails.
Just email show at footballramble.com.
to Andrew McNeil, who's written in on a very special footballer in his family. My late grandpa was Ian McNeil, a footballer, manager, assistant and scout. He even played for Jules's Brighton and Vicious Aberdeen. Here we go.
Vicious Aberdeen.
A claim to fame was taking Jimmy Floyd to Leeds back in the 90s. He was assistant manager of Chelsea in the 80s, and Pat Nevin wrote him a lovely obituary for the Chelsea website. It included the story of how he used to bet new players that he could beat them in a 50-metre sprint if he got a head start whilst the player drank a cup of water. My grandpa went into the changing room and got a cup of boiling water.
Yes!
He pocketed the cash. As is too familiar now, he was another former footballer. He sadly lost their battle with dementia. Well, thank you very much, Andrew. That's a lovely email. And I might use your grandpa's tactics to make a bit of cash on the side.
Yeah, exactly. We should say, by the way, that he played a number of years at Leicester City. And had a managerial career as well, you know, which was quite impressive. So, yeah, excellent email, that. Very good. I'm quite liking this trope of people who's, you know, related to people in football and whatnot. Very enjoyable indeed. Thank you very much, Andrew, for that. Of course, if you have a story to tell like that, do email us, show@footballramble.com. You can tweet us @footballramble. Right, gentlemen, I want to talk about Tottenham Hotspur. Jose Mourinho, he wants to treat Daniel Levy. He said he wants to mark, Mourinho said he wants to mark his 1,000th game, that's Mourinho's 1,000th game, with a trophy for Daniel Levy after running Spurs for 20 years. That's Daniel Levy running Spurs for 20 years, of course, not Jose Mourinho. So, although some Spurs fans may feel that that is is questionable. But
now he gets to 20 years, does he get to be called General Levy?
I hope so. Field Marshal Levy. Oh, no, I think, no, Mourinho's field marshal, isn't he? Let's be honest in this.
I suppose.
Yeah, well, Mourinho said, the trophies are the salt and pepper of football. It would be nice for him to celebrate my 1,000th official match winning a trophy for Tottenham. Again, who's doing who a favour here?
So Mourinho, is that Mourinho's quote then? The trophies are the salt and pepper of football?
Yeah.
Right, so he's been eating unseasoned food for a good while now. That's just probably a bit harsh. But it's funny because one of the things around the Levy-Mourinho relationship, and it was one of the reasons it was put to a few journalists who were sniffing around for whether Mourinho was going to go after that defeat to West Ham. Mm-hmm. One of the things that were put to them. It was the fact that he still maintains the trust of Harry Kane, which is obviously quite important in that dressing room. And secondly, that Levy is infatuated with Mourinho.
He is, yeah.
Like, he sees him as an ally that he never thought he would get, that he never thought he would have, and really sees status in Mourinho. And I see this, and I see those quotes as just, you know, it's like Levy's paid 50 quid for a cameo video from Mourinho.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said all he wants to hear.
Do you think he's just suckling on Mourinho's teat?
I think Mourinho's got him under his arm and he's just giving him a little hair ruffle, and that's probably another couple of years in the job.
The thing is, if you are paying for, it's like paying for a daily cameo video from Jose Mourinho. Imagine buying the same cameo video every day for 4 years. That's a lot of money.
Can you do the same message again? Yeah. I can do a different message. No, I'm happy with this one.
It's funny though, isn't it? I mean, you have to take it with a pinch of salt and pepper. But when you go back to the Amazon documentary, that's one of the biggest take homes from it, isn't it? The fact that, you know, Levy is absolutely entranced. It's like, what are all the questions I always wanted to ask him? You know, it's like that story about Morrissey going around to Alan Bennett's house, knocking on the door and going, hello, I have a list of questions for you.
hello, Morrissey.
inviting himself in for a cup of tea and asking, like, Alan Bennett everything he ever wanted to ask him, and then go, thank you, bye, and, like, leaving afterwards.
Mind the lady in the van. My goodness, yeah. I mean, Levy reached his 20-year landmark this week, and the Carabao Cup final is due to be Mourinho's 999th game. So it won't be on his 1,000th game.
I know, so he's fucked that, hasn't he?
You mug.
Is he going to look like a Ranger friendly?
Friendly, yeah. It's got to be. It's an official friendly. We're going to put that towards the... Yeah.
Oh. Are you suggesting he's the Romario of managerial appearances?
I think that's a little
bit unfair.
No, I'm not. I'm suggesting that he needs to adopt a little bit of a Romario tactic to make sure that it is the 1,000th game, Andy.
Right.
I think you need to double-check that. There we are. Over at Manchester United, there's a little bit of musical chairs going on. John Murtough. How would you pronounce that? Murtough?
I wanted to pronounce it Murtaugh, but...
I did as well. A little bit of Lethal Weapon vibe about that. Well, he becomes Manchester United's first ever director of football. Big news. He's joined by Matt Judge, great name, as new director of football negotiations, and Darren Fletcher, former player, of course, as technical director. I was quite intrigued by this, because on Fletcher's appointment, Solskjaer said about Fletcher, of course, former player, had a great career at Manchester United, he said, his DNA is what we want. I thought to myself, what are they cooking up? What are they conjuring up over there? He's got like the toenails of Peter Schmeichel, and he's got like the hairs of Roy Keane or something. And he's like, oh, that's all we need, and then we're going to create. It's like Jurassic Park over there.
Yeah, what they need to get, Marcus, is the Amiens Stadium to create it all.
I tell you,
don't they?
That was one of the. It's the only French league game I've ever been. Andy took me to Amiens once, and do Google image Amiens Stadium because there is a Jurassic Park vibe about it. It's totally unnecessary. Those big. Sort of, I mean, what are they, Andy?
They're almost like sort of, how would you describe it? Curved grills around the boundary of the stadium.
To keep dinosaurs out, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. Or to keep them in.
Uh-huh. I tell you what, if Manchester United do a deal with them, like a feeder club, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, that's mad.
Oh, it's great. It's amazing. It's well worth a visit. And but if Manchester United, yeah, I mean... Fish, do you sort of think, you know, because Solskjaer, as he said, his DNA is what we want. He was rubbing his hands and sort of licking his lips together.
Maybe he's planning to do that breakout reportedly. And he's going to, you know, he's going to get that shaving cream thing and put them all in there and then
what shaving drive cream off. Thing?
Do you know in Jurassic Park when he nicks all the DNA?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's planning to get them all in.
Well, I, for one, very much look forward to a 15-metre-tall Darren Fletcher.
Yeah.
With scaly skin stomping absolutely. All over the pitch at Amiens.
Oh, dear. We're going to sacrifice the goat, you say. Get messy in. You know?
They've had lamb chops. I'm a little bit worried with this because there were a lot of thoughts that after Ferguson, United actually needed a director of football because there was no one who was going to come in and do all the jobs.
Right enough. And the way managers, they come and go, and that's such a rarity nowadays.
Absolutely.
You know?
And so like John Murtaugh, he has, you know, done a hell of a lot with the younger players. I think if you look at not just Rashford, but even players like Brandon Williams coming through, there's a real sense that conveyor belt is starting up again, and a lot of it was his doing. Mm-hmm. There's also the story of him fucking up a meeting with Jude Bellingham. And it's that kind of thing where I feel like...
Well, it's not like he's turned out to be anything amazing, is it?
Oh, don't, please.
But those things, you do hear about these things. You can't be...
That can happen to any club.
Exactly.
No, true. Yeah. But I wonder with the way football is now and the way those meetings are so important right now, I wondered if maybe a higher profile appointment, maybe an external appointment would have been better because... That I don't want to put too much stock in that story, but you kind of think that by bringing in someone externally, you bring in their contacts book as well, and that has been a problem at United when it comes to recruitment.
Sure, but then you say that, but he's a man in demand. They did well to keep him because reportedly he turned down the opportunity to join Bex and Fizzer into Miami.
Which I definitely would have taken in that position.
Is that the dictionary definition of a lovely old job?
Oh, yes, it is.
So he turned that down, slagging him off, going, yeah, come on. Have a bit of respect.
I mean, what are they doing?
Have
over
a bit
there?
Of respect for Sergeant
Murtaugh. What are they doing over there? It's embarrassing. It's just like, I remember there was this stat when Roy Keane was Sunderland manager where something like.
Oh, get Keane over
20, there. Something like 23 players he signed, he either played with or played in the same squad as. And this is like, just ask other people, like, put an advert out and let people apply. Don't just root through your contacts book. Especially Phil Neville is one of the names you're picking out.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
It is a little bit, but I'm enjoying it.
Miami, people are going to be looking at you as well. You're going to have to wear shorts. Think about this.
He looks okay in shorts. We saw him for years in shorts playing football.
Oh, I reckon he can definitely put off the shorts, belt and blazer look.
He could. He
maybe, actually.
Is he going to pull himself off on the beach, Andy?
Don't
that
do
time?
That again as well. Don't jizz on the beach. Don't talk about him jizzing on the beach.
What's
Jimmy Butler going to think when these people walk in? They're going to force him out of Miami.
He's going to take one look at Phil Neville and go, you know what? I would have charged this mofo $30 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, dear. Right, well, of course, Manchester United, they're playing AC Milan at Old Trafford tonight at 5-6. Sadly, Zlatan Ibrahimovic won't be featuring against his former side, of course.
Still hiding from LeBron?
I'd say so. But he may feature in the Euros this summer. 39 years young. He's been tipped for a return to the Sweden national team and reportedly could even play in the upcoming international break. Andy Brassel. I witnessed you talking about this on BT Sport and I thought, get Andy and myself and Vish as well, he can tag along, and to talk about this in the Ramble studio. Andy, tell me this is true.
Oh, I think it's going to happen.
Yes!
The talks have been going on for a while now, mm-hmm. for well the best part of a year, mm-hmm. ever since he's come back into Europe and people have realised that he's not just a figurehead, but actually a serviceable footballer mm-hmm. as well. I think from the Milan perspective, you'd be a little bit worried because he's had a few little nagging injuries this mm-hmm. season. It's part of the reason they brought in Mario Mandzukic. But what are you going to do? You can't say no to him.
No.
So you've just got to let him do it.
Well, do you reckon he'll start playing within himself as get closer to that time? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I just think it puts his fitness at risk. He's already relatively fragile fitness at risk. I mean, I remember reading about in his last years in the NBA, and we've only had a couple of NBA references in this pod, so it's fine. Vince Carter, the famous Vince Carter, mm-hmm. What a palaver it was to get him ready to play.
Yeah.
Even if it was like 15 minutes a night, by the time he's like 40, 41, mm-hmm. it was like a full, like sort of 3-4 hour business. Now, I know Milan are really good at, you know, squeezing a little bit more toothpaste out of the tube. You know, that's what they've been famous for over
Milan
the years.
Lab.
But maybe
which is what Solskjaer's trying to recreate Manchester United.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the thinking. Maybe it's, well, everyone else in the team is really young. So if we've got the whole medical team working on this 39-year-old guy for 6 hours a day, that'll be fine. Yeah.
Do you think, will Milan be willing to share that? Or is Zlatan of a level where he would have his own people helping him out with that? Because that is, I remember that is, I was talking to former England physio, quite famous, broke his ankle. But he said when Fabio Capello pulled fast one and called up Ledley King, they had to spend basically...
Gary Lewin,
yeah. They had to spend basically 2 weeks living at Spurs' training ground to see exactly what he did so they could replicate it when they took him on England duty.
It's fascinating, all that stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of it was people that Ledley had to bring in, but also, you know, all the stuff he did at the swimming pool, which Spurs coaches dealt with. I wondered what the situation was with Zlatan in that regard, if it was his people or more Milan's people.
He did have his own people looking after him when he went back to Sweden in this injury break either side of Christmas. But going forward, I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit pessimistic, but because one, I tend to think his goals are a bonus anyway. He was brought back to be a leader, to play a sort of pastoral.
He's got a lot of goals. You can't stress that enough.
Oh, totally.
It's not he's scored like 2 in 18 appearances. He's been brilliant.
That's the surprise. Yeah. Like, they really brought him back for this pastoral role with this younger team, which is something that people don't really get about Zlatan.
Yeah.
But the second part of it that makes me feel optimistic, if ever there's a footballer who is going to become part bionic, it's him.
Yeah. I was hoping it was going to be Owen Hargreaves, but I think that ship sailed. But yeah, you're right. I think you're spot on there, Andy. He said this week that he phoned up Rino Gattuso to get a message for his son on his birthday. And he said about Gattuso, "I told him, if you don't send it to me, I'll show up in Naples and do it live. I once put Rino upside down in a bin."
I mean, because when recently,
he means business.
A couple of times recently, Napoli played Juventus, there was a great reliving of the way that Andrea Pirlo used to relentlessly tease
Gattuso. He says that in his book as well.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? In his autobiography. And you think, no wonder Gattuso looks so angry all the time. He's just the butt of every joke.
Was it Pirlo, the one who said that they put all the ugly in Italy in Gattuso?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing he would say. Like, he was an absolute piss taker with Gattuso. And he said that Gattuso, they would be round the lunch table, you know, eating whatever served up, and they would, you know, mess around with his food before he got there. And he said, like, he'd go on these, as he described them, fork attacks. And he would just start waving his fork, going absolutely mad. He said he described him like as a little Tasmanian devil. And he said, like, there was once or twice. Now, this could just be him, you know, putting this in the book for a little bit of a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, or whatever. But he said in the book that resulted in, like, one or two players over the years, like, missing games because of these fork attacks. And it was always, oh, they're a bit unwell, or they're a bit, you know. That's what he suggested. I mean, I don't know whether
if someone's got a fork hanging out of their arm, I think that suggests they're unwell.
No, I know what you mean, but I wonder if he's sort of suggesting that these were maybe a little bit worse.
Can you imagine that? See, you got the Sky Sports ticker out, brackets, hamstring, brackets, fork.
Yeah. Kakar is out this week because Rina Gattuso attacked him with a fork. Oh, by the way, with Ibrahimovic, we spoke about the gig he was doing at San Remo with Mihailovic.
And he was every bit as good a singer as we thought he would be.
You mentioned this before, Andy, am I right in saying?
Oh, I think we've all mentioned it before.
Yeah. Apparently, on his way there, he abandoned his driver on the way to the festival and he hitchhiked on a motorbike.
Coachella next year, baby.
It's just unbelievable. It's Pete Donaldson-esque, that is.
Well, I mean, he's just a cartoon character of a bloke, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Who gets into those kind of hijinks?
Scott McTominay said about his time at Manchester United with Ibrahimovic, he said, Ibrahimovic is a tough guy to be around. And I don't know if he means, oh, he's a tough, like a hard man, sort of, he's a tough guy to be around, or oh, he's hard work to be around.
I reckon it's twofold. I can't imagine that Ibrahimovic would have had much respect for McTominay. Like, I'm not saying that to be flippant. I imagine
that. But then
Andy
talks about this pastoral role that he has at AC Milan, which again I can see.
But so, there's a lot of tough love in there.
Yeah.
So I think different young players would react to it differently.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
So like one of the things that was said of Ibrahimovic's time in, you know, at Old Trafford was his work with Pogba, mm-hmm. and he was very good at keeping Pogba in check and kind of pushing him, and at the same time being like, look, you haven't made it yet. You've done fuck all, really.
Is this Roy Keane with Cristiano Ronaldo?
A little bit like that. But yeah, I also imagine Ibrahimovic looked at McTominay and think, he's this Lancashire kid, piss.
Who let you in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Manchester United, really? Well, yeah.
Each to their own. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble this fine Thursday. It's been an absolute pleasure. On tomorrow's show, Vish and I are back with Luke Moore. It promises to be an absolute cracker. So there we are. Right then. Say goodbye, Vitusha Nahantaraja.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. and then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.